Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome once again to the Steve Jones Show. Steve Jones Show, sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. Find them online at purdyinsurance.com. See what they can do for you. You'll also find them on Market Street in Sunbury. Steve hanging out in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Might not be a bad afternoon to check out what they have there on the lot. It looks like a little bit of sunshine this afternoon after the rain this morning. The story of the day has to be Alex Rodriguez and Ryan Dempster and what happened last night. And here's the way it was called on WEEI in Boston.
And that one got him. That one drills him. And now warnings from Ryan O'Nora. Here comes Girardi racing at the umpire. He's pointing.
He wants Dempster ejected.
Girardi comes out. He's pointing at Dempster. Yeah, he wants him thrown out. Girardi's been thrown out of the game. I thought it might have been John Lackey yesterday who did the deed. But guess what?
Too obvious?
What Ryan Dempster has done, you almost get the feeling he's done it on behalf of baseball.
Love the analysis there from WEEI in Boston. You could tell that it was the Boston broadcast there with Dave O'Brien. But I thought the most interesting thing was that that was not the first pitch. That was actually the third pitch. Three pitches were all inside. The first one actually went behind Rodriguez. Now, the only question I have to ask is, and I'm all for giving warnings, but when the first pitch went behind, it's like, okay, well, maybe it slipped. The second pitch went inside. Now, I didn't see how far inside it went, but let's assume it was in the ballpark of being a questionable pitch. Then the third one went inside a little bit further than maybe it should have. And again, I did not see pitch by pitch, so I don't know. I'm just guessing. But when the last pitch came and it actually hit him, if you're looking at one pitch behind and three pitches or two pitches inside and one actually hits him, isn't that an automatic ejection and no need for a warning? Listen, I'm not defending Alex Rodriguez and I'm not defending Joe Girardi, but I understand why Girardi stormed out of the dugout and complained about it. Now, you can argue that, you know, for if you're a baseball fan, that there's a reason why that pitch was thrown, as Dave O'Brien alluded to. Maybe he was doing it for all of baseball. Is that right? Does that make it right? I don't think so. I mean, I don't like what Alex Rodriguez allegedly did either. And let's say right now it's alleged, although it doesn't look good. And if he implicated other players to kind of save himself in any way, that's not good either. But let's give the benefit of the doubt until all the information comes out and we have all the information. Is that still okay to go ahead and bean a guy? Maybe that'll be the question we open up at 1-800-795-9565. Toll-free line again, 1-800-795-9565. You can also answer our question or pose a question for that matter on Facebook. Steve Jones Show, and email stevejones@wkok.com. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, too, @SteveJonesPSU and @KevinHer. And that could be one of the things we talk about today. I know Steve wants to get everyone updated on Penn State football and catch everything up there. Sounds like a real interesting quarterback battle going on right now between Ferguson and the young freshman coming in. So that should be something with Hackenberg. It should be something very interesting to see develop. And isn't it nice to have a couple of quarterbacks, as a coach especially, and as a Penn State fan, isn't it nice to have a couple of quarterbacks you can sit down and go, boy, these guys are both performing really well. I'm not quite sure which way is our best way right now. I mean, isn't that a nice problem to have if you're a coach instead of, you know, neither one of these guys are performing that well. I'm not quite sure which way we're going to go. So where would you rather be there? Would you rather be a Bill O'Brien situation or Rex Ryan situation on the NFL side, where he has two quarterbacks that are okay, but not really tearing anything up? But as it sounds right now, a very, very good quarterback battle at Penn State, and Steve will catch us up on that. Tonight, it's Steelers and Redskins. We can talk a little bit about that. How much of the game are you willing to watch? How much are you investing in preseason football? With me, it'll be a half. We'll see after that. And then we can also chat a little bit about Friday's news that we talked about at this time on Friday, as a matter of fact, with the departure of Charlie Manuel. Did he get a good deal or not? I mean, should Charlie have been left to finish the rest of the season? My opinion, I don't think you can blame him for what happened this year. Now, I have my issues with Charlie Manuel over the years. Some of the managerial decisions he's made, some of the lineups didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But then again, I'm not getting paid to do what he does, and I don't claim to be smarter. But did he deserve to be taken out before the season's over and not have his contract renewed? Or should he have been left to play out the contract a little bit? Those are some of the things we can chat about. Again, 800-795-9565. And we'll open up the phone lines after we hear from Dan Patrick and Above the Noise. Is that okay? Or would you like to say hi?
Hello.
There you go. So the Kevin Hirsch Show will continue after the Dan Patrick.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2006 Ford Explorer 4-liter XLT with new rotors and new brake lining, just $11,499. 2011 Ford Fiesta 4-door sedan, $12,494. 2005 Dodge Dakota 4-door quad cab, $12,994. 2007 Lincoln MKZ 4-wheel drive sedan, $12,995. 2006 Pontiac Solstice 2-door convertible, super low miles, only $15,521. And a 2010 Honda Odyssey 5-door EXL. Call for price, 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. We'll be talking with Charlie Kimble, Indy race car driver, at the bottom of the hour. Look forward to that. Dwayne Anderson coming up tomorrow. Penn State basketball assistant coach will join us here in the Sunbury Motors studio. And, Kevin, if you could do me a technical favor and allow the echo to go by, yes, that'd be fine. Thank you.
Happy to do so.
Tony Knopp will join us from Spotlight Ticket Management on Wednesday. Donnie Collins had to be moved to Thursday. And let's see, Friday, I know we have Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Pro. We also have one other guest on Friday that we're going to get to as well. And we're also working on a couple of others. We're working on Greg Cosell. We're working on someone from F1 and so forth. And I might try to get John Bacon on to talk about the book Fourth and Long. I talked to John this morning. I mean, face-to-face. I mean, he's here. So... And I know you want to talk about Charlie Manuel. It's unfair what happened to him.
Even I have to admit that.
I mean, it's unfair. He should have finished the season. Then after that, if you wanted to talk about whatever with him moving forward, is he the best fit moving forward?
I mean, I'm okay with him not getting renewed. Getting his contract renewed. I'm fine with that. But I think he should have been able to finish the season.
Of course. I think he's deserved that.
And what happened this year had nothing to do with the way he managed the ball club.
In fact, I think he's done a really nice job of managing the ball club just to get them to where they are. Now, Ryan Sandberg is going forward, I think, is a really good choice. But I think his time was to start fresh in 2014. So I don't think that was handled right. And Charlie Manuel should be saluted for being among the great managers in Philly history. I mean, he should be. I mean, who's been better? I mean, Dallas Green wasn't really there that long. I mean, G. Mock came close and certainly was a great manager, but this guy won the World Series, got back to the World Series, you know, got to the playoffs in a highly competitive time. And, you can argue among the managers that the Philadelphia Phillies have had, who's been better? Terry Francona was brilliant with the Red Sox. Philly fans will tell you his 3 years were no more than ordinary there in Philadelphia.
I felt the need to tweet, though, after everything went down, Ruben tomorrow.
Say that again?
I said I felt the need to tweet Ruben tomorrow to be removed.
Okay. Oh.
Ruben Amaro, Ruben tomorrow. It's kind of a play.
Another step backwards for Twitter. Our number.
It didn't say I did tweet it. I said I thought about it.
You thought about it. You considered it.
I did. And then I thought, what would Steve think of that? And I thought, and it ended right there.
Yeah. I'm glad I could put the brakes on something like that. Without even being there, I put the brakes on it. The A-Rod thing, Ryan Dempster. Everyone knows that growing up in New England, I've been a diehard Red Sox fan. Last night made no sense to me at all. You want to embarrass him? You want to do something to him? Strike him out. Why throw at him? You're winning the game 2-0. Win the game. I mean, the guy's going to get, you know, he won't get all 214 games. There'll be some point in the appeal where they'll knock this thing down, I think. But there's more to the A-Rod story than just what's going on here. Because obviously there's some legal wrangling between the Yankees and Alex Rodriguez. Neither side is handling this well at all. I thought the Yankees were handling it really well until the last couple of weeks. Now they're not handling it well. But it's I don't understand throwing at him. I don't get it. You want to embarrass him? Strike him out. I never really agreed with this on-the-field justice thing. Okay? I've never understood why giving somebody a base sent a message. I mean, he hit him. Guess what? A-Rod scored. I'd rather strike him out and have the crowd go crazy over that. How do you feel about that?
I thought him, you know, throwing at him was, I just don't think it was the right thing to do. It didn't make any sense to me. Why put a guy on base to prove a point and then, like I said, ended up going and having it burn you later? My question is why. I understand the bench warnings, and the bench warnings are fine. But if he threw inside as many times as was discussed, which was two inside, one actually behind him, there should have been a bench. There should have been a bench warning after the first ball went behind him. Because I'm sorry, nobody in the majors loses a pitch that bad. I mean, you could say that okay, it slipped, but that's a big. That's stretching a little bit. I'm sorry. And I know I said that before that you could say that the first pitch slipped, but when the next two are that far inside as well, it's obvious. I just think it's saying that, well, that one slipped, that's a little bit of a reach. What about the fourth one? Would that slip too?
All right. I don't get it. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's I don't get it.
And I credit Girardi for coming out and arguing that fact, because I'm sure that's what he was arguing too.
No, Girardi did exactly the right thing. Joe Girardi handled it. I mean, he went out, yelled, screamed, backed up his player, you know, and also said, hey, basically, you know, now you're telling my pitcher he can't throw inside? He hasn't even thrown a pitch yet. Right?
That's exactly right.
And you're warning us as if we haven't even thrown a pitch. Charlie Kimball coming up next half hour. He'll talk about making a bunch of left turns fast. You hate me, don't you?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. And today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I know you eat up every moment we have somebody from IndyCar on.
It's the best moment of the entire week already for me.
Wow. Wonder if we should bring on and start playing Only the Lonely.
It's a good thing you don't have control of the bump music, isn't it?
It's not like I can't play it over here, because I can.
That's true. You could.
Well, we're very pleased, by the way, to bring on Charlie Kimball, who is not only a winner on the IndyCar circuit, but also is symbolic and means so much to a specific community in this country, and that is the community of, and unfortunately, the ever-growing community of those who are diabetic. Charlie is type 1 diabetic and yet excels in a sport where you need all of your reactions and your senses. Charlie, welcome. It's great to have you with us. What does it mean to you that you do have that responsibility in your life to a very specific and special part of the community?
Well, it's an important part of my racing program. You know, having Novo Nordisk as a partner, the company that makes the insulin I use, the insulin delivery device, the Novolog Flex Pen, it's important for me to represent that diabetes community really well, on and off the track. And you know, for me, it's very fulfilling, because I know that if I have a not a great weekend on the racetrack or a fantastic weekend on the racetrack, the fact that I'm out competing is a victory for so many people in that community. And hopefully I can inspire and encourage, you know, those people, especially young people, to continue to chase their dreams and live their passions, whatever that may be.
Charlie, when did you get the bug to get into racing?
Well, I grew up watching motorsports. My dad's a mechanical engineer and designed race cars, and I got into go-karts at the age of 9, got into a car the first time at the age of 16 when I got my driver's license, and at that point, I never looked back.
When were you diagnosed as being a type 1 diabetic?
Well, I was actually racing in Europe and had gone into the doctor with an unrelated skin rash, and he asked me a few other questions, and I mentioned an unquenchable thirst and had me jump on a scale, and in just 5 days, I'd lost 25 pounds, and at that point, he did some blood work and realized that my blood sugars were really elevated and diagnosed me with type 1 diabetes.
How do you regulate it the day of a race and then during the race?
Well, a lot of what I do comes down to the preparation before I get in the car, as far as managing my hydration, my nutrition, my blood glucose, using that Novolog Flex Pen, taking my insulin, so that when I'm in the car, hopefully things have gone to plan. All I have to think about is racing and hopefully winning. And I also have a couple of tools in the cockpit to keep track of it. I wear a continuous monitor that's plugged into the car's data system, so I can keep track of my blood sugar on the steering wheel just like I keep track of lap time and speed. And if I need some carbohydrates, I've got a second drink bottle mounted in the car full of orange juice.
Okay. How important are pit stops along the way for you, not just in terms of what they do for the car, but also if there's any moment where you need something extra?
If things go off track, so to speak, if you'll pardon the pun, a pit stop's the opportunity to get some insulin or even get some carbohydrates, but in the car, let alone anything during a pit stop, because as seconds, they don't want to take any extra time to make any adjustment to me as a driver.
In your career, give me the importance of getting hooked into the Ganassi racing team.
Oh, it's fantastic. Having teammates, champions as teammates, like Scott Dixon and Dario Franchitti,
right,
has been invaluable. Even outside of the IndyCar stable, being a teammate to Scott Pruitt, Memo Rojas in the Grand Am program, and Jamie McMurray and Juan Pablo Montoya, who we all worked together at the Rolex 24 at Daytona this year. So being able to learn from those guys who've won on so many different series, so many different continents, so many different types of racing, has been fantastic in my engineering and or my development. And the engineering side is second to none in any series, I think, in the world.
We're with Charlie Kimball, who is an IndyCar race driver. He certainly is the one who carries the banner for anyone who is diabetic that you can literally accomplish anything. We have a football player here at Penn State named John Urschel. And John is he's a genius in math. And everybody knows he's 3-0, not 3-0, he's 4-0. He's never had anything less than an A. And everybody knows academically how strong he is. But the guy's a really good football player. He was first team all Big Ten. And at some point, we feel like we need to recognize the kind of football player that he is. Give me importance for you personally that beyond the symbolism that goes with your disease, that people start just to recognize you for being a great driver.
Well, I think when the on-track results reflect the importance of the job I'm doing in the race car, then that story takes care of itself. The fact that I'm a racing driver first who happens to have diabetes, when I'm getting podiums, when I'm getting top five, when I'm getting a race win, those highlights take care of themselves. And so people focus on the fact that I'm a racing driver first, and yes, I overcome the challenge of having diabetes, and I speak to a great community and a great audience of people with diabetes, not just across the country, but around the world, and that's important. But the fact if I can get the job done on the racetrack, that's all that really matters.
In your everyday life, mentally, when did you feel you turned the corner where it became an accepted part for you and you get past the shock of it?
Well, it took me a good couple of weeks to deal with the diagnosis. There were some pretty dark days there, and to be able to come out the other side and stronger, and I think a better athlete because of diabetes rather than despite it, because I'm more aware of my body. I do a better job in preparation. I have a better understanding nutritionally, a better understanding of the fact that I get to do something I love for work. I get to drive race cars for a living, and I'm really grateful and appreciative of that. So when I get into the car, I enjoy it, and it's that much sweeter than it's ever been.
Yeah. I'm type 2, by the way, just for full disclosure, so it's not quite in the same ballpark as you are, but I still have the same thought process that you have to have. On an everyday basis.
Exactly. And I think one of the things for me, being the son of an engineer, mentally I was prepared well for managing diabetes because I'm very linear. I'm very methodical in not just how I drive a race car, but also how I manage my health. And so that I think that has given me an extra edge and an ability to manage diabetes well enough to be able to continue to compete day in, day out, and go hammer and tong with guys, 32 other drivers, the Indy 500 or the Baltimore Grand Prix coming up next week.
Right.
And race hard for a full three and a half hours.
One final question for you. Tony Stewart on the NASCAR circuit, as we know, in a non-circuit race. And he's done this his entire career. I know it in Sealands Grove here in Pennsylvania. He just shows up on a Friday night, and there he is. What is the stance of IndyCar, your personal stance, and also Ganassi, on you doing anything other than the Indy Series?
Well, at the moment, I'm very busy. I'm very focused on the IndyCar side of things. So the opportunity to do other races just doesn't fit in the schedule at the moment. I'm so committed to continuing to get to a point where I'm successful in the IndyCar Series and continually successful, continually podiuming and getting race wins. So at that, this moment in time, I'm really focused on that. And as far as Ganassi Racing is concerned, he's Chip's very, very committed to having successful drivers in the IndyCar Series. And so we try and avoid, as a team, distractions from other racing. Obviously, the Rolex 24 at Daytona is a different kettle of fish because we're racing for Chip there in right. team cars. And with it being a 24-hour race, it's important to have four very strong drivers in each car. And I know Tony's caught flack and gotten a lot of support, you know, both sides of the coin. But at the end of the day, everybody involved with him, his partners, his team, himself, they know he's a racer and he's grown up his whole life racing whatever he can, whenever he can. And as drivers, we're competitors. And if we're not competing in a NASCAR or an IndyCar or anything like that, we want to be competing somewhere because that's how we feel fulfilled and how we feel alive. And so I think everybody knew what they were getting into. And I wish him the best because I broke my hand last year. And it's very hard to watch somebody else drive your race car or the car you're supposed to be in. And so I hope he can recover completely and as quickly as possible.
Charlie, for us, it was an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. We found it to be illuminating as to what you talked about and how you've really inspired an entire community by what you're doing on an everyday basis at a high level. And hopefully we cross paths again, maybe before Indy or obviously when you come here to Pocono.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a great result at Pocono this year as part of a Ganassi podium sweep. And I look forward to getting back there next year. And you know, don't forget, it's not too much of a hike out to the Baltimore Grand Prix.
That's right.
Next weekend on Labor Day weekend. We race Sunday afternoon, and it'll be live on the NBC Sports Network as well.
Yeah, it's only about 150 miles from here, so I think we can get some people down there for you.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks, guys.
Charlie Kimball, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Well,
yes.
Is everything downhill the rest of the week for you? Or
it's going to be tough to top that for me, man. You're going to have to work this week.
I wake up every day. If I can please you in some way, I feel like I've accomplished fill in the blank.
He's such a great guy to talk to, though. I mean,
yes, he is.
I mean, he's very, very humble, very understanding of the whole scheme of things, and realizes that when you talk to Charlie Kimball, there's going to be some discussion about diabetes. There's going to be discussion about how he handles it, as well as the race. I mean, there are some people would have a problem with talking about that all the time. I mean, it's like he said, he realizes he's a driver with diabetes, not a diabetes guy driving.
Well, that's why I try to point out with the Urschel reference.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, it sometimes can be tough to overcome, but he takes it in stride.
He does because you have to take it in stride. There are certain things, like certain moments where away from everything, you do have to take care of it and manage it. I'm type 2. So for the most part, I'm on pills, but once a week I have to take a shot. Monday happens to be the time. There's a couple little side effects to it and so forth, but you deal with it yourself. You don't, you know, it's no big deal to the rest of the world. To them, you're just normal as normal gets, and you lead a normal life. Now, diet-wise, I've had to dramatically change my diet. Now I'm 2, not 1. One's a far greater challenge. But it's not like 2 doesn't have challenges, because 2 does. And I've had to really change my diet and my way of thinking about food and how I go about it and exercise regimens, things like that, to help control it. The key is you need to keep your A1C
7 or below. I mean, every 3 months I'm at the doctor. First of all, he checks what my mental state is. I never seem to pass that one. Then we check the other parts. But you know, there is a challenge with it. Now, I talk about this only in that, you know, it was easier for me to ask questions to him because I know personally the things I have to do. Now, what he has to do is obviously a little bit different, but he still has some of the same challenges, so it made it easier to talk about that. And there isn't a single person out there, not one person out there, that thinks of me as, oh, well, you know, Steve Jones, you know, he's a type 2 diabetic. They think of me as Steve Jones, the announcer, pro or con, okay? He, though, it's different. They think of him as Charlie Kimball, the race car driver, who has diabetes. So you do have to bring up the incredible skill he brings to the table because you have to be really good to do what he does at a high level. And then, the diabetes adds an additional challenge. Today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Market Street, the same street that a week ago Kevin made an illegal U-turn. So we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and Dick in Milton is waiting. Hi, Dick. Thank you for your patience. I appreciate it a lot. Hi, Dick. There we go. Hi, Dick. How are you today?
I'm fine, Steve. Hey, you could have covered this. I'm not 100% sure, but and this won't make Kevin's week, obviously, but I wanted to congratulate you on on having your contract extended during Penn State football. And maybe
well,
you've already covered
much.
It. I don't know. I just saw it today online. So, and hopefully you'll be there after the sanctions are lifted.
that'd be nice. But no, Jack and I are very fortunate. And for me personally, I'm very fortunate that I've always been able to work the entire time with him because he really makes how the broadcast works. And his perspective, his analysis, the intelligence, no ego, everything that goes with it. I mean, you can't ask for a better person to work with than Jack Ham. So I've been extremely fortunate, and we're looking forward to the next 3 years.
Well, and the other thing that you guys both have going for you, you do get to cover the best team, as far as I'm concerned, in college football. University, and I mean, it's everything up there, despite what people might think, everything pretty much is done the right way up there.
And not only that, but I'll tell you the part, you're right about all of that, but the fans are a big part of that because we have a lot of interaction, especially in the pregame show with the fans. The fans are really intelligent that make great comments, insightful comments, really make you think about things. And I can't say enough about how fortunate and how lucky I've been to deal with a fan base that is as intelligent and as nice as the one Penn State has. I mean, even, you know, when things aren't great, they know how to ask questions in the right way where you sit back and think a little bit, and they're very insightful. I've been very lucky. The fan base has been awesome.
And Dick, Steve won't tell you this, but they called me before they renewed, Steve, and I said, listen, I've got high school games. I've got Bucknell. I'm busy, but I know a guy that you probably should talk to. So, you know, it worked out well for Steve that way.
Well, by and large, there's a lot of guys doing college athletics on the radio and television, but you're really fortunate to get to do Penn State.
Oh, I know. I know. Believe me, I know that because there are a lot of people that would want this, and the fact that they keep making the same mistake over and over by having me do it, that's their issue. No.
I once said to Steve, okay. I said, Steve, do you get sick and do you need a fill-in? I'm here for you. He goes, I don't get sick.
Well, congratulations again.
Thank you.
And by the way, I'm going to get out of my car right now and walk over and watch Bucknell practice football for a while.
Sounds great, Dick. Thanks.
Yep.
Appreciate
guys, have a good day. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks. We hadn't even mentioned it because I don't mention such things. that's why I don't mention such things. If some people want to call and talk about it, fine. But
You've done a pretty good job with it. I mean, you know.
Well, thank you.
It's worked out well. You know how I feel.
So, yeah, but that was awfully nice of Dick. Appreciate that very much. Very kind. Well, our number 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. Jack called me this morning, and we talked about it, and Jeff Nelson sent us a preview of the release and wanted to know what we thought, and my response was typical me. I responded back by saying, it looks to me like all, everything was spelled correctly. Go ahead.
The spelling checked out.
Oh, well. Okay.
Listen, you there are tons and tons of people, and I mean tons, that turn the sound down on the television. And that's no disrespect to anybody on television. But, they turn the sound down on the TV to listen to you guys. By the way, love the photo of you and Jack on Penn Live. We may have to link to that at stevejonesshow.com. Jack's wearing the Hawaiian shirt, and you're trying to explain what the defensive scheme, I think.
A photo on Penn Live of the two of us?
Yes.
Oh. Okay. Was my hair combed?
No.
It was outside.
Well, I'm being honest with you. It's outside.
I mean, if it's outside, it probably looks like it's flying all over the place like it usually does.
Sorry. I'm being honest with you.
Well, he was at practice on Friday. He was wearing a Hawaiian shirt on Friday.
That's probably the one, yes. Yes, he's wearing his yellowish Hawaiian shirt.
Well, he wears that in the booth sometimes. I mean, we're on radio. Does it really matter?
It doesn't really matter. You're right. I can't debate that with you.
I mean, you know. One time he showed up in that Hawaiian shirt and shorts, somebody said, what about that? And I looked at him and said, we're on the radio. I said, all that matters is what he says.
It's a little strange when it's only 20 degrees in November, but hey.
Yeah, he doesn't. I'll tell you. I remember one time doing a game at Bloomington. It was 27 degrees. First half, he didn't wear a jacket.